members. Good morning, colleagues. We're having a meeting today for Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development. So yesterday evening I got an apology from the chairperson that she has been requested to attend some urgent matters, and hence she will not be able to come today. So according to the National Assembly Road Book, Section 159, in the absence of the chairperson, we have to elect an acting chairperson. Order. So, as of now, I will then request or call for a nomination. I recognize the end of Honorable Chapa.
Thank you, Chair. I nominate the name of Honorable Mabasa to be chairperson of this meeting.
Honorable Chapa nominated the name of Honorable Mabasa. Any second?
I second the name Mr. Mabasa.
The name of Mr. Mabasa has been seconded. Any further nomination?
Chair, I nominate Mr. Brady. I nominate David Chance. Honorable David Chance.
The name of Honorable Chance has been nominated. Any second? No second for the name of Honorable Chance. So in the absence of secondment for Honorable Chance, then we will then request Honorable Mabasa to come and act as an acting chairperson for the day. Thank you.
Following the ways of the Secretary, Kuba Kunene, we now start our meeting. And we have the agenda, the draft agenda before us. Do we have any comments on the agenda? The purpose of asking for one of the members to move and second, if it is so accepted. Honorable Kruger?
I move that we accept the agenda.
Okay. Seconder?
Dr. Muruti? Second.
Thank you very much. Secretary, let's go to the area of apologies.
Chairperson, I have received an apology of the chairperson, Honorable Ruth Bemu, and then I also received the apology of Honorable Dr. Nkosazana Zuma. I also received an apology of Honorable Chinibazi Mlaotsi, and then Honorable Mishwe has just indicated that he has got to attend a meeting at 11. So those are the apologies that I have received. Thank you. In fact, I also received an apology of Mr. Kruger, and then, but he's here.
Okay. No, thank you. Thank you very much. Our first item on the agenda is the consideration and adoption of the August 2017 Free State Oversight Visit. We have the report before us, and I believe it was sent some time ago. But what I suggest we do, let's take few minutes to quietly go over the report, and the content advisor is also here, so have the content advisor to take us through the report, noting that it has been circulated beforehand.
Thank you, Chairperson. Morning, honorable members. The report actually begins on page 6. Well, the first few pages is your introduction, the background, the objectives of the visits, the composition of the delegation, and then the actual report will then begin on page 6 with day 1, a visit to Harib District Municipality. Members will guide me if they would want us to go through the previous pages, but for me, those are just standard pages, really. They don't really have any, you know. I'll quickly go through these ones, and then I'll rush to observations and recommendations, which I think that's where the members would want to make their own contributions going forward. What we did again this time around in terms of this report, we just did a narrative of all the visits that the portfolio committee undertook without having to do an observation on each a visit or day and recommendation. We then did a consolidation of the observations and recommendations. You know, it's slightly different approach from what we have done in the past, where we would, for instance, on day one have its own recommendation, have its own observations and recommendations. Again, if members have a strong feeling that perhaps it would be good to revert back to the old structure, I'm also fine with that. But the reason why we approached it in this fashion is I was actually trying to avoid the repetition, because there is a lot of repetition and duplication that tends to happen in the process. In terms of day one of our visit to Free State Province, the Portfolio Committee visited Harib District Municipality. We visited Kopanong Local Municipality, which is also situated, or its offices are adjacent to the Harib District Municipality. As a result, the councillor, Ms. Tebogo Motsetsepa from this Harib District Municipality, and District Municipal Manager, Ms. Lebogang Moletsane, were the ones who received the Portfolio Committee. At this time, the Portfolio Committee was led by Honorable Mabasa. The chairperson was joined the Portfolio Committee on the second day. The Portfolio Committee visited Harib Leather Design Primary Cooperative. I'm actually making an observation around this particular visit that the main thing that came out of this visit was the lack of coordination between the department, CIFA, CEDA. The cooperative was struggling with the electricity switch. That's one thing we noted about this particular project, and we are making an observation towards the end of the report. The second visit was to Kinago Water and Waste Processing Primary Cooperative Limited. which is situated in Kopanong Township. This project, I'm also making an observation and recommendation around it. It's one due to drought that is hitting the Free State province. This is one project with huge potential, but what the portfolio committee discovered was that the project is dormant or it's not operational. The cooperative is registered in terms of the Cooperative Act. They are just struggling with the property within where they want to do their own business and the lack of funding. The business plan here was developed by CEDA. That's the only intervention that was done by CEDA. DSBD has not supported this particular project or CIFA. The local municipality has only supported this particular project in as far as giving them a space where they are temporarily operating. The portfolio committee then went to, this is on page 8, went to Ekasi Kitchen Cooperative Limited in Yagafontein. This project was funded by the Department of Trade and Industry. It benefited under the CIS, but back then it was still under the Department of Trade and Industry for the sum of 208,000. Again, a similar challenge we discovered with the other projects. In fact, with the entire projects we have visited in other provinces was the lack of space where this particular cooperative will do its business. They are actually renting a space now for 2,800 rand from a landlord. They actually need their own space. They are sharing the building where they are operating. The rent of 2.8, it excludes water and electricity. In terms of their projections going forward, they would want to access the balance of the CIS from the small business development in order to buy a parking. This project also raised sharply the issue of the access to market. There is a view that they are being sidelined by the local municipality, by the district municipality, and the provincial government of Free State. The next project that the portfolio committee visited was Harikesetseng Cooperative Limited. Harikesetseng Cooperative Limited was actually funded by the Department of Forestry, Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries to get the structure for 23,500, which is a container which they use as an office, a toilet. This is one area that maybe the portfolio committee members would want to underline. This is where we were informed that there is a toilet which was delivered to the tune of 1.8 million rand. There are also 60 ostriches that were delivered. The second batch of 204 ostriches were received in 2016. The project is struggling, largely because, one, there is no market in the Free State or neighboring towns. As a result, the ostriches, they get delivered to Olson in Western Cape, which is plus minus 400 kilometers away from the site. So in terms of logistics, cost absorb more than half of the cooperative earnings. We are also making an observation around this particular project and a recommendation towards the end of the report to say the department, there is a slight chance that this project can still be resuscitated, provided the department, CEDA perhaps, and CIFA intervene decisively. The next project that the portfolio committee visited was Maputla Trading Enterprise. It is registered as a cooperative, as a closed corporation, I mean. It was appointed by Free State Department of Human Settlement on November 2012 to construct 250 units of low-cost houses. However, these low-cost houses were reduced to 229 willy-nilly by the Department of Human Settlement. In terms of our engagements with Mampunka, and in terms of the information that we have received from Mampunka, there is no indication that this number was reduced to 229 on the basis of Mampunka not performing. There is actually no reason why this number was reduced to 229. In terms of the delivery, out of 29, there were only 89 stands were adequate to build on. As a result, there was a toing and froing between the service provider and the Department of Human Settlement, such that CIFA, which had loaned money to Mampundla, ended up invoking Section 129 of the National Credit Act to try and recover the money that it had loaned to Mampundla. Another observation and recommendation we are making with regards to this project, it's also covered towards the end of this report. Then the last day, the last visit was to Mangaung Metro. This was basically a courtesy visit by the portfolio committee to interact with the Mangaung Metro. Then on day two starts from page 12. The first project to be visited by the committee was Mangaung Fresh Produce Market. Here there is a project that is being conceptualized and piloted by CIFA with Mangaung Fresh Produce Market, Etegwini Fresh Produce Market, and Spring Fresh Produce Market. So the portfolio committee had an opportunity to visit Mangaung Fresh Produce Market just to understand the nature of this particular project. It's designed for informal traders or hawkers where they get a credit line facility from CIFA with the interest rates, again, which are quite favorable. What the portfolio committee learned with this particular project is that it is progressing very well, not just in Mangaung Fresh Produce Market, also in Etegwini and also in Springs. The next visit was to a cooperative in Tabanchu, Popanong Women's Enterprise Transport Logistics and Multipurpose Primary Cooperative. The cooperative was started in 2010 with a membership of 25 women. It received support from SASA in partnership with the Department of Social Development for the production of school uniforms for orphaned and vulnerable children in the Free State and Northern Cape. This is one of the projects which is actually showing a sign of growth. We are also making an observation and recommendation towards the end of the report. 6.3 on page 14, Botsabelo taxi rent. This is just a courtesy visit. The portfolio committee, during its visit to Mangaung Metro, it had been invited the previous day to come and see what the Mangaung Metro is doing for the survivalist street traders and hawkers. So this was an opportunity for Mangaung Metro to showcase that to the portfolio committee. Then from there, the portfolio committee visited the Botshabelo Township. There are three projects there which are supported by the Department of Small Business Development under its CIS project. One is Tswelang Construction Primary Cooperative. The second one is Libone Construction Primary Cooperative. The third one is Mamelo Construction Primary Cooperative. We are also making observations and recommendations around these particular three projects to say that they were all registered in 2016. And soon after their registration, they qualified for the CIS funding. It's not weird, but it's kind of strange. The three cooperatives are not operational. They have all received buckets, which are not being used currently, but the owners of the cooperatives are primarily using them for their own personal use. The portfolio committee visited all the three projects where it discovered that not much activity is being done. When the members pressed further or probed further in as to why these particular cooperatives were given the CIS funding when there was actually no project that they are currently executing, the committee was told that the cooperative intends to benefit from enhanced people's housing program in the Free State province. But again, the Secretariat did a follow-up with the Free State Department of Human Settlement to ascertain if such a thing do exist or not. The assertion by DSBD was actually dismissed as fabrication by the Department of Human Settlement and Free State. What they are saying is, if there is a tender, that tender gets advertised, they don't entertain the issuing of letters of intent. Besides, even if they issue a letter of intent, it's not a binding document, it's not a legal document. So they also found it strange that so much money can be dispersed to cooperatives on the basis of the letter of intent. We are also making observations and recommendations towards the end of the report. Another project that was visited by the portfolio committee was a computer college called Advanced Technology Training Institute, which is a women-owned enterprise. It was funded by CIFA. It was funded by CIFA in 2015. From what the portfolio committee members gathered with this particular project is that it is progressing quite well. The project is able to service the CIFA loan, so we could not identify any issue that needed to be followed up with regards to this particular project, except perhaps to say that this is a computer college, it's a training institution. In terms of the CIFA mandate, are they eligible to fund this sort of businesses? Maybe that's one thing members would want to discuss going forward. The next project that was visited by the committee is ETA Trust, which is also a women-owned passenger transport enterprise. It's trading as a JPS. It also received funding from CIFA to acquire buses. They have a contract with the Department of Agriculture to transport staff members from Bloemfontein to Glen College on a daily basis, and the contract ends on the 20th of March 2020. Also, members were quite impressed with this particular project. There are no issues that required follow-up or of concern to the committee. Another project which was visited by the portfolio committee was Bloom Organic Compost. It is registered as a closed corporation. It was registered in 2008 and it has been operating for 9 years. The business manufactures compost, lawn dressing, potting soil and manure from waste. The project was funded by CIFA. The members were also happy with this particular project. We could not find any issues that require a further probing or further follow-up. The client is able to pay CIFA loan. The next or the last project that the portfolio committee was supposed to have interacted with on the second day of its visit, but this particular project or the owner, we could only meet her during the third day of our visit to Bloemfontein, was Redmill Financial Services. With Redmill Financial Services, there are a lot of issues here which perhaps will require the portfolio committee to follow up with CIFA. For instance, this project has been a CIFA client since 2004. From November 2004 to January 2009, then Kula Enterprise Finance Limited, before the amalgamation of the three entities to become CIFA, approved to Redmill Financial Services a total loan of 69 million in business loans and 1.4 million in seed loans, as in or grants. Again, in April 2011, the business loans were consolidated to one facility with a value of 41 million rand payable, repayable over 84 months. But what is surprising about this project is that again in August 2012, SIFA approved an additional business loan of 30 million rand. The information that we have received from SIFA does not give us an indication whether or what sort of due diligence SIFA undertook to grant this additional loan of 30 million rand. We don't know why they granted this loan of 30 million rand, because one would presume that considering that this business started in 2004, should be able to sustain itself in 2012, but clearly that was not the case. And was SIFA managed to extend a loan of 30 million rand. It then appeared Red Mill struggled to service this debt. In July 2016, Red Mill was handed over for legal judgment with a total exposure of 46 million rand. The loan was actually restructured. There were agreements in terms of the High Court reached on the 28th of July. To say Red Mill will pay SIFA 45 million rand to be repaid at a prime rate less 2%. We are also making a recommendation around this. 6 months installments of 500,000 with effect from 1 September 2016 and the outstanding balance to be paid in monthly installments of 250,000 plus interest from the 1st of March 2017. Again, it does not look like Red Mill Financial Services adhered or obeyed this High Court settlement. As a result, SIFA is left with no option but to revert back to the High Court in order to enforce this settlement. Well, the portfolio committee members were there. You interacted with the CEO of this particular company. There were lots of allegations that were leveled against SIFA employees. So it's her word against SIFA. Hence, my view is the portfolio committee would have to make time, perhaps at the beginning of 2018, to invite SIFA for it to do a presentation around this particular project. On the third day, the portfolio committee visited Thabo Mofutsanyane District Municipality, where it visited five projects. One was Makeleng Waste Management, which is owned by Ms. Caroline Khomo. This project was also funded by SIFA. Honorable members, you will note that in our report, we do not disclose the amounts of money that SIFA advanced to either cooperatives or close corporations or PTY, except Red Mill Financial Services. We are doing this deliberately to protect the confidentiality of the close corporation, PTY, and others. The Red Mill Financial Services matter is within the court. It's in public domain. That's one of the reasons why their figures are disclosed. So this project is progressing quite well. The portfolio committee members were quite impressed with the progress it has, the project has registered, except to say that perhaps all the observations or recommendations that the portfolio committee has made to DSPG in terms of coordination between DSPD, the provincial government, the district municipality and local government, the portfolio committee members actually emphasized that. We then visited the Sitsoto local municipality, where we were received by the municipal manager, Mr. Tsepiso Ramakarane. This was just a courtesy visit by members of the portfolio committee since they were there. There are no issues here at further discussion. Then from there, we visited Happy Hills Business Enterprise, which is a women-owned enterprise located in Kwakwa. It's a Vodacom Express shop, a franchise, which was acquired by Ms. Tandekala Visa through SIFA assistance. The portfolio committee members were also impressed with this particular project. It is progressing quite well. There were no issues of concerns. There are no issues that perhaps require follow-up. The client is able to service CIFA loan. It employs six permanent employees, except perhaps that the issues that almost all the projects that we visited, they seem to be complaining about the interest rate that is being charged by CIFA. We are also making an observation and a recommendation around the issue of interest towards the end of the project. Oshoeshwe, Libushoeshwe was not part of the portfolio committee, was not on the program of the portfolio committee, but we were just invited to just drive through this particular project to see as to how CIFA or as to how CEDA and the department can actually assist this project to take it forward. There are also no issues here identified by the committee. CIFA has not spent money on it. CEDA has not assisted the project, but we are making an observation towards the end of the report. Zulu Trading, it's a family-owned business by Danesile and Lulu Zoko. It started in 2013. They buy and sell liquefied petroleum gas and other energy products such as electricity, coal, and paraffin to individual and institutional customers. This project started a long time ago. It is registered as a close corporation. CIFA funding was used to purchase equipment, stock, sales, and marketing, as well as to cover transport costs. The project is progressing quite well. Members of the committee were quite impressed. The client is also able to finance a CIFA loan. Safe to say that the same issue of interest rate came up sharply. They also have plans to expand their business, which perhaps will require DSBD and CEDA to assist the client or the close corporation in terms of developing a business plan with a clear financial projections going forward. The next project to be visited by the committee, we are on page 20 now, 7.6, was Menza Steel Work Close Corporation. This is also a family-owned business. It is run by father and his family. The business was established in 2007. It was just a coincidence or a passion, and without any prior skills or learning. It is situated in Puta di Chaba area. The first machine was purchased in Harte Beerspoort, that is in Northwest, with Free State Development Corporation, helping the close corporation to do the initial setup. The company sourced raw material from ArcelorMittal. The market is mainly in Nkwakwa, Harrismith, and Kestell. It was funded by CIFA in 2015 to acquire machine, stock, and to cover a portion of the working capital. Again, this business is progressing quite well. In fact, they have taken a second loan from CIFA, which they are also able to service. But then again, the same issue of interest rate, it came up, especially that this is now an established CIFA client. But in terms of the interest rate that is being charged, it has not changed or it has not decreased. Day four of the portfolio committee visit was dedicated to an inspection of enterprises funded by CIFA in Lijwe Lepu Tswa district municipality, which are Max Manchis and Lisole agencies. Owing to distance from Kwako to Velkom, engagements commenced almost midday. The portfolio committee visited the district municipality where it interacted with the acting municipal manager and the member of the mayoral committee on local economic development, Ms. Tigele Tijirepo, was there as well to welcome the portfolio committee. Then we visited Max Manchi's dog food, which is a cooperation registered by three directors in 2008. There were minor issues with this particular project. In fact, it's only one issue, that they were, they bought their equipment via a service provider, but apparently a service provider has not delivered the equipment to the site, or it delivered a wrong equipment to the site. As a result, Max Munch is busy servicing CIFA loan, yet they do not have that particular machinery or equipment, which is something that the portfolio committee might want to follow up with CIFA. In fact, the secretariat has actually done that on behalf of the portfolio committee to say we need to get CIFA side of the story as to what is happening here. We're still waiting for the feedback from CIFA with regards to that. The next project to be visited by the committee was the solar agencies called Close Corporation, which was funded, which was founded by Mr. Lisole in 1999. The company specializes in the professional and implementation and construction services. They actually took out a loan from CIFA in 2015 for the construction of a Wulukanang Library. It's in Petrusek, on behalf of the Department of Sports, Culture and Recreation. This Close Corporation has actually paid back all CIFA loans. They don't owe CIFA anything. Again, one issue that came up sharply from them was the issue around the interest rate. The last day was a visit to Fezile Dabe District Municipality, where the portfolio committee visited Broad Start Vehicle Testing Station, Mokaka Pharmacy, Coffee's Greenhouse Primary Cooperative, which was originally not part of the portfolio committee program, and Karatek, including a catered visit to Mokaka local municipality. 9.1 is just a visit to Mokaka local municipality, where we interacted with them, the political leadership, the chief whip, municipal manager, and LED managers. Then we went to Kroonstad vehicle testing station. The project is almost halfway. There were not much issues that the portfolio committee identified here. The project hasn't started operating. The actual station is still being constructed through the CIFA loan, so there are no issues that we identified here. Then we visited Mokaka Pharmacy, which was established in January 2016 by Mr. Silo Sheping. Mr. Sheping is a qualified and experienced pharmacist. He identified the gap in the market and then took that opportunity. The business is operating optimally and has created five new jobs or five new opportunities. Perhaps one area that the portfolio committee members would want to underline here is that Mr. Sheping actually paid CIFA a loan quite fast, and it actually led to his business suffering from the cash crunch. That is one area that the portfolio committee members underlined, which is actually a demonstration that in terms of the business acumen, CIDA may have to come in here in terms of the training, should it happen that Mr. Sheping requests additional loan from CIFA. The Coffee's Greenhouse Primary Cooperative Limited is here. The portfolio committee was invited by Fezile Dabe District local municipality. It was not part of the portfolio committee program, but this is a very it's a 10-member cooperative founded in 2015 and registered in October 2016. It has not been funded by DSBD, CIFA, or CIDA. But it was actually funded or received financial support from the from Rand Water. So what they are basically doing was to show the portfolio committee the progress
and also to stress the issue that they are having with the district municipality with regards to the payment. There is an issue here with regards to the payment. Then the portfolio committee undertook a courtesy visit to Federal District Municipality, where again it interacted with the political leadership of Federal Derby. Then the last project to be visited by the committee was a Karatek close cooperation. Karatek renders technical services to large chemical manufacturers. This client was funded by CIFA to purchase an industrial property which is situated in Sasolburg. In September 2012, CIFA approved the loan. This was followed by the appointment of the mentor. The mentor was appointed by CIFA, not by CEDA. The mentor identified a number of constraints on the business operation. These included, for instance, the lack of delegation in the business, a clear key man risk, and the inability of the entrepreneur to plan work appropriately. Unfortunately, many of the proposed interventions could not be implemented as the entrepreneur, this is the claim by CIFA now, as the entrepreneur was not available adequately, was not adequately available to provide the relevant information to the mentor. The project has therefore collapsed, and CIFA has, in line with Section 129 of the National Credit Act, commenced with the legal proceedings, including attaching the property and equipment. I think, again, this is one area where the portfolio committee would want to follow up with CIFA to get a full detail as to what is happening here, because during our visit on this particular project, the owner told us a different story from what CIFA is telling us. For instance, one of his complaints was around the mentor that had been appointed by CIFA to say that the mentor was not necessarily conversant with the nature of the business that was being carried out. It was just a business development specialist. So I think portfolio committee members would want to follow up on this particular project. Then I come to observations, which begin on which begins on page 27. Observation number one, the first general reflection the portfolio committee noted in its oversight led to Free State Province is that DSBD, CIFA and CEDA are not present on the ground. They are barely recognized and their products and services are almost not known or accessible. Consequently, there are very limited projects currently being implemented by either CIFA or CEDA in the Free State Province. For instance, while other provinces like Limpopo and Gauteng have seen the cooperative incentive scheme beneficiaries reaching a high of 100 per province, less than 10 CIS beneficiaries are domiciled in the Free State Province. In fact, it's the same with the Northern Cape province as well. Less than 10 CIS beneficiaries are domiciled in this province. I don't understand how is this possible. The second observation is that according to the respondents the committee interacted with, they cited, among others, that DSBD website is not user-friendly and most of the information promoting its products and services is outdated. We all know that almost all the incentives or grants that DSBD is offering are currently being reviewed. One of them is CIS, another one is BBSDP, another one is I2, Informal Upliftment Training Program. The department is inaccessible via landline. There is no switchboard or dedicated call center, and applications for financial assistance are either ignored, disregarded, or not acknowledged. Observation number three. In the previous observation and recommendation, the committee has repeatedly stressed the importance for DSBD, CIFA, and CEDA to execute their respective mandates as a unit. It was therefore disappointing for the committee to learn that there is still no two-way referral system or coordination between CIFA and CEDA or between DSBD and its entities. All three entities operate autonomously
or independently of each other. Number four, horizontal and vertical coordination of local, provincial, and national spheres of government still poses a major challenge in the delivery of small business services. This is what we discovered on the ground and through our interactions with the local district and the provincial government of Free State. There is a gap between the district and local municipalities, various departments, and state-owned entities around the issue of coordination that require further refinement and modification on the side of the DSPD. For instance, the Harib Leather Design Primary Cooperative Project was regrettably grounded to a halt because, owing to lack of adequate power supply, something that CEDA and DSPD, in consultation with local government and ESCOM, ought to have jointly coordinated. 10.5, during the PC visit to Kinako Water and Waste Processing Primary Cooperative Limited in Kopanong Township, the committee noted with regret that notwithstanding the potential of the project, it remains dormant owing to lack of financial support and space or property wherein the cooperative can operate. This is one critical bottleneck which has emerged in almost all the committee visits in Mpumalanga, in KZN, in Limpopo. The committee has, for instance, cautioned that DSPD incapability to cascade or convert policy aspirations into plans, programs, and key deliverables for implementation is problematic. The new growth path contends that space and property availability for small businesses is often a challenge and therefore require attention from the respective departments. 10.6, similar to 10.5 above, a visit to Ekasi Kitchen Cooperative in Yagafontein, the committee was confronted with a similar challenge. The cooperative is renting a space for 2,800 a month, excluding water and electricity. In addition, the cooperative complained that there are not many opportunities available for small enterprises in the district. The previous observation by the committee in relation to the market access was to note that the department has a dedicated unit entrusted with this responsibility. Nevertheless, throughout the oversight visits, or this particular visit, none of the officials entrusted with this responsibility were available. This is despite all the cooperative projects that the committee has visited in the past have consistently raised the question of market access as a major obstacle. 10.7, during the Harry Ketezeng Cooperative Limited visit in Edinburgh, the committee noted with concern allegations of malfeasance leveled against DAF officials, where, as alluded to earlier, one toilet came at a cost of 1.8 million. The project is in ruins. However, there is a possibility that it can be resuscitated, provided CEDA and DSPD intervene decisively. An implementing agent from DAF, who actually decided the structure, the layout, storeroom, office container, and ablution facility, and costed it, only assisted the members of the cooperative. I'll correct this. An agent also determined time for selling, buying, and prices for ostriches, with little intervention from the cooperative members. At some stage, ostriches were sold while they were still underweight. Some ostriches are bought while they are young and sold to the very same market at the price determined by an agent. I've already raised the issue of the market around Free State, the issue of the distance from this particular site to Oldson in the Western Cape. 10.8, the committee observed developments at Mambutla Trading, a close corporation. The entity was appointed by DOH on the 14th of November 2012. However, in January 2013, these units were reduced to 129. While the committee is aware of its incompetence to mediate commercial disputes between the two parties, vis-a-vis between MTE and DOHS, It was the facilitation role that CIFA was supposed to have played in the whole debacle that caused discomfort among members of parliament. Mamputla was owed money by Department of Human Settlement, probably due to non-adherence to 30-day payment policy. But CIFA, particularly as a state organ, instead of aiding Mamputla to recoup its monies from the Department of Human Settlement, it conducted itself more like a commercial bank and went on to invoke Section 129 of the National Credit Act, placing unnecessary financial burden on Mamputla, having not fully exhausted all internal mechanisms. Well, in our engagement with CIFA, we could not establish really that. In fact, the Department of Small Business Development was not even aware of this particular situation. Next observation, 10.9, the committee was impressed by the relationship between CIFA and fresh produce markets of Mangaung, Springs, and Durban. Well, there was no issue here that the portfolio committee members picked up. 10.10, the committee applauded the success of Kopanong KWE cooperative in Tabanchu. However, as per 10.2 above, it lamented lack of teamwork between CIFA and DSPD. For instance, in its Mpumalanga report and observation, the committee, after four cooperatives were smashed with a debt of 20 million rand, excluding interest and fees, remarked that upon receiving application from small enterprises, especially cooperative formation, CIFA must engage DSPD to ascertain if the application or the nature of the project being pursued by the cooperative does not qualify for financial support under CIS or Shared Economic Infrastructure Facility. While the committee notes that CIFA is a lender of last resort for small enterprises, but equally, before extending loan facility to small enterprises, CIFA must make sure that it's responsibility to ascertain if such a credit cannot be leveraged by way of a grant or incentive from DSBD, DAF, the DTI, or local government. 10.11, here we are making an observation around the three projects that the committee visited. The dispensing of the CIS grant to newly formed and dormant entities, that is Tswelang, Mamelo, and Mamelo and Libone. The three entities were registered in 2016 and immediately after that qualified for the CIS. This is in the face of an application backlog as purported by the department. The three entities are not functioning and the buckets bought through the CIS grant are currently being used for private or personal purposes. The next observation, 10.12, furthermore, and as alluded to earlier, it is unclear why Free State Province has only less than 10 CIS beneficiaries, when other provinces are sitting at more than 100 beneficiaries. For instance, in terms of the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, Free State Province has more than 10,000 registered and active cooperatives on its database. Either the department or CIDA is not fit for purpose. 10.13 is an observation around Red Mill Financial Services. Again, the committee notes CIFA's fallacy or misconception that financial intermediaries or wholesale lending is less risky than direct lending. Three disturbing lessons from the Red Mill Financial Services episode were noted. That is, from November 2004 to January 29, the amount of almost 70 million rands that was granted to Red Mill Financial Services, and a further loan of 30 million rands that was approved in 2012. How many individual small entities would have been financed with such an amount of money? And also, the question of due diligence come to the fore as to the nature of checks and balances exercised before such huge sums of money are given to individual companies. Redmill Financial Services is an individual company. It's registered as a PTY in terms of the Companies Act of 2008. Secondly, in terms of the High Court settlement reached on the 28th of July 2016, the settlement of 45 million rands owed by Redmill to CIFA was to be repaid at a prime rate less 2%. But quite strange, CIFA is unable to extend the same courtesy or benefit of charging prime less to small enterprises. This is one issue that we, the portfolio committee was bombarded with on almost all the projects that we visited, the issue of the interest rate. And lastly, the committee notes with quite unease the deterioration of relations between CIFA and Redmill Financial Services Management, the intimidations, the verbal abuse, and bullying to and from both parties is quite unacceptable. Hence, we will make a recommendation that perhaps the CIFA and the board need to be engaged on this particular issue. Then 10.14, the portfolio committee is making an observation here to say, in relation to 10.3 above, the committee further notes that this is not the first and may not necessarily be the last financial intermediary going through the same legal hurdle with CIFA. In 2013, Marang Financial Services Pty Ltd, a large microfinance intermediary, was placed under liquidation. A final liquidation order was granted by the Master of the High Court on the 26th of March 2013. And in the process, CIFA had to write off in excess of 65 million rands. So again, it is a fallacy that the wholesale financing is doing much better compared to direct lending. And if you look at the amounts that are involved here, vis-a-vis the number of small enterprises that with this amount of money would have been financed, it does not make financial or business sense. This is one issue perhaps that the members would want to follow up as well. Lastly, other CIFA-funded projects like ITA Trust, the Computer College, Loop Organic, Macrilling, Mensa Steel are progressing quite well and are able to meet their obligations. Nevertheless, they all underscored or decried the rate of interest charged by CIFA, which usually oscillates around 14 to 20%, and also they also requested that they need more opportunity, more funding and training. In terms of the recommendations, starting from page 32, the department must develop an effective marketing and branding strategy. The committee made this recommendation in 2016 after having observed that even those projects that are sponsored by the department, they are hardly ever mentioned or showcased by way of publicizing, advertising, or billboards. In Nabazake, for instance, this is what we discovered. In Pochefstein, in fact, there was a within the actual site that was sponsored by the department, a board, which was sponsored by, I can't remember, that board? Branding and marketing of these projects should be intensified in order to increase the awareness of these BD services and product offerings. In the absence of a strategy, however, this is not likely to be attained. The strategy must be developed and concluded no later than 30 June 2018, which is the first quarter of 2018. There is a requirement for a dedicated system or platform for DSBD clients to track progress on application for financial assistance online. Currently, clients are not able to access this facility. They rely on the DTI call center to go. They via through the DTI call center to reach the department. 11.3, DSBD and CEDA must follow up on Kinako Water and Waste Processing Primary Cooperative Limited and ensure that the business plan is developed with and financial requirements are sketched out with a view to getting the project off the ground before 31 March 2018. That is before the end of this current financial year. As above, as 11.3, DSBD and CEDA must follow up on NKRC Kitchen Cooperative Limited to make sure that the business plan is updated and the remainder of the balance on the CIS is disbursed no later than 31 January 2018. Signing of transversal agreements with respective local and provincial governments cannot be overemphasized but long overdue. 11.5, DSBD and CEDA must follow up on Harikesese Cooperative Limited. Allegations of corruption must be reported to the sister department, that is DAF, and the role of the implementing agent. This is a commercial project, and DSBD, together with her entities, has a responsibility to ensure that this project does not collapse. 11.6, Maputa Trading Enterprise is obviously going through a difficult time. The committee is of the view that legal proceedings against this entity should be put on hold until proper consultation between CIFA and Human Settlement is finished. Without Human Settlement recapitalizing this project by means of allocating more units to Mamputa Trading Enterprise, CIFA portion of the loan is not likely to be repaid. There has not been a doubt or misgiving concerning Mamputa competency and capability to deliver. It is therefore clear from the committee point of view that the project was thrown off balance by irregularity of Human Settlement and made worse by CIFA litigation process. DSBD and CIFA therefore must report back to the committee before the end of 2017. 11.7, in addition, CIFA must henceforth ensure that all small enterprises owe money by the state, particularly where there is evidence that either goods or services were delivered to the satisfaction of the client, that is, the state organ, are temporarily absolved until all internal mechanisms and processes are exhausted. 11.8, the department has a duty in conjunction with CIFA to rapidly finalize the development of the rescue strategy for struggling small enterprises before the 31st of March 2018. The concept of business rescue finds its foundation in one of the stated purposes of the Companies Act, which is to provide for the efficient rescue and recovery of financially distressed companies in a manner that balances the rights and interests of all relevant stakeholders. In its correspondence to CIFA Board of Directors, the committee strongly advocated for the agency to adhere to these provisions before progressing to Section 129 of the National Credit Act, which in our view places unnecessary financial burden on the small enterprises. 11.9, on the matter between CIFA and Redmill Financial Services, the committee is again calling on CIFA Board of Directors, in its capacity as the accounting authority, to exercise its oversight responsibility by ascertaining if, in the case of Redmill Financial Services, the accounting officer performed his duties diligently and meticulously without contravening Section 38 of the Public Finance Management Act, when more credit was extended to Redmill Financial Services, findings of which must be reported to the committee for record before the 31st of March 2018. The CIS guideline or policy must be expedited. So is the forensic investigation on the CIS grant. Provision of the CIS grant to newly formed and dormant entities, to Zwelang, to Mamelo, and Libone, raises more questions than answers. considering that the three entities were only registered in 2016 and immediately thereafter qualified for the CIS. 11.11, on market access interventions, the department needs to provide adequate support to projects, both financial and non-financial, lead an integrated process of nurturing cooperatives from inception phase to spearheading market access intervention programs. The portfolio committee would like to recommend that a market access unit within the department urgently develop a detailed and realistic market access strategy on or before the 31st of March 2018, contents of which will include plans to scale up support to all projects previously visited by the portfolio committee in Eastern Cape, Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, Gauteng, and Free State. And lastly, as per 11.11 above, other CIFA-funded projects, ITA Trust, Makeleng, Zulu, Mendra Steel, and Kopanong, have demonstrated resilience in the face of economic headwinds. They need to be carefully examined to identify areas of further growth. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Content Advisor. Welcome to the members that have just joined us. Let's see how we can go about this report. The one way, actually, there are a number of alternative ways of handling this. The one way is to focus on each area that has been visited. I mean, starting from page 6, to see if let's say, for an example, Kopanong Local Municipality in Gariep, which is on page 6. And stretches up to Gariep, stretches right up to page 11. So the one way would be to say, let's focus on Gariep, the area visited, and see if what has been captured is what the committee believes is the correct content captured. And then from there, we can then proceed to the others in the same way, but aiming that our focus areas go more to observations as well as to recommendations. But I have noted let's start let's see who was noted first here. Let's start with the patient, Honorable Chang Kruger.
Gee, no, it's not a comment on your recommendation. It's just a comment in general. I just want to congratulate our content advisor on this very good oversight report. And I want to thank him for all the work that he put into this report. It's done very professional, and I think our content advisor is just an asset to this committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to members. Chair, I think let me support what Masiza is saying, Honorable Masiza Kruger, that Mr. Gumede has captured it very well, with professional and comprehensive. It is on that note, Chair, that I was going to propose that we stick more on observations and recommendations, because the way he has detailed the issue of visits per project, as someone who was there, I do not think that I should go on and discuss the same thing that is well captured. But our emphasis must be on the recommendations, because that is what we want implementation. That's my suggestion. I think it's a good report, Chair. I think it's a good report. It shows that his name is Spusi.
Well, honorable Sanchez.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. That my two colleagues have covered what I wanted to say, that the quantity of the, or, no, the quality of the information provided here makes it possible that in our, first of all, we appreciate, as another provider said, sincerely, and therefore take advantage of it by making use of this information in the approach of going to observation and recommendation, and perhaps refer to the notes that we have, or things that we have. And the last one, Chair, on your page 5, 4.1, it is interesting that I was not there according to this report, but I seem to remember all the things that we have been in place. I remember all the things, but unfortunately my name is missing there. I don't know what happened. Thank you.
Honorable Chan.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, I just want to also reiterate what members have said about the quality of the report. Mr. Gamedi should be congratulated. But I do have a few small comments on the content before we get to the observations, so I wish to just have an opportunity to make those comments before we move on, Chair.
Chairperson, it might sound like a broken record by just repeating some of the things that our colleagues have said. But I think it's important that we, coming from different political parties, make our appreciation known for the quality of work that the content advisor is giving us. And also to say that if ever there can be a proposal to redeploy him anywhere, that we will protest because of the kind of work he's doing for the community. So the quality is very good. We are very, very appreciative of that. And I support the approach of looking at observations and not recommendations, and of the recommendations, and not the details of what's happening in different places.
Thank you very much, Mr. Commissioner. Another chance, as you made your remarks, you take into account the overall scenario, so that we don't stay too long on it. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I promise I won't be long. Okay, I think page 9, 5.6, I think it's important that we point out that the lady concerned, Dora, was in the process of contesting a liquidation order, an attachment order, on her property. I know that it's referred to in observations, but I think it should be for the record that this lady was, basically her business was being put out of business as a result of CEFA's attachment of her assets. Page 14, a small point, but it brought a smile to my face. 6.3, second line, I think that your phonetic use of the word whackers. 6.3, page 14, your phoneticization of the word wreckers as opposed to workers is quite amusing. Whackers. I think whackers should be... whackers. Oh, they're hawkers. Oh, not whackers.
Hawkers.
Okay. Right, so anyway, you might like to change that. I thought that they were whackers, but anyway, let's go on. Right. Yeah, that's all. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to return indeed, yes. With your comments, did I hear no to Mam Tembu? Then, let's then go to Bakapa.
Yeah. I might sound out of order here, but from a human sector point of view, I was really interested, so that was that 5.6, I had noted it, the serious, serious, serious. It would assist us, but it's 5.7. It would assist us, it would be definitely before that. In that project, there were no irregularities in their handling of the budget, which is a tendency that might have known only by Twitter. That is, for example, she's serving money and she got 17 cents. I mean, it's a human thing. If we can establish really from Twitter that definitely there is nothing unbecoming compared to her, because his was appealing to us, but in case that we
did. In other words, get both sides of the story before we get to a conclusive understanding. Okay?
And there's another part too where you said either, I think that's too harsh for the department.
Reverend Misha is just leaving as per apology request. Honorable Kruger?
Chair, I definitely share the sentiment of my colleague, and I want to propose that he sent a formal question to the minister in this regard, a written question, so that we can all see what is the answer. If you would like. From whoever, but I think we need to ask that question formally to the minister so that SIFA can answer it formally. Of course, I also have that same feeling. You know, there's some things that you feel in your gut. Something is not right. And if we can get a formal answer on this one, I think it will help us a lot. So these are the points, the issues to be noted.
Chair, a quick one from me before you continue. With regards to Mamputla, this is the same lady apparently. I was not in that day. I was out of training who came to a portfolio committee. I'm not sure if Honorable Chance were not in on that meeting.
Yeah,
yeah. She came on that particular, I was not there, unfortunately. In fact, it's the same lady. There is a correspondence that I developed for signing by the chairperson to CIFA board. Because our assumption at the time was that the only reason why this particular project collapsed was because of the human settlement in Free State. They played around with the numbers, reducing the number from 250 downwards to 129. And number two was around the issue of the payments. Human settlement was not paying this lady on time. Hence, she was struggling with the cash flow. And then that's how CIFA began with them. So the information at our disposal, really, it does not give us any indication to say this lady did anything wrong, unless really maybe CIFA can come back and, you know. But that's the information we have, because we also inquired with CIFA as well to say, CIFA, give us your side of the story. We also could not find anything. In fact, it's on CIFA documents that were given to us to say that even some of the sites were actually on the sewerage line. How do you establish a house on the sewerage line? That was impossible. I don't know. We can look at that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everyone. And my apology for arriving late. We had a transport challenge. I wanted to come in earlier on, but as Babusubu content advisor is coming up, even when we were on the site, the indication from CIFA was indeed they were in the knowing that it was the Department of Human Settlement that did not do justice to the lady. Because we even asked a question as members to say, if you knew about this, why didn't you assist the lady? Because you were in the knowing that the department did not adhere to its initial agreement in terms of the number of houses and also in the issue of not paying the lady on time. So the CIFA was like, they were aware of everything that was taking place with the Department of Human Settlement. And even from ourselves, the question was, but why did you act in the manner that you acted, whereas you know what was the problem? It was with, it was not with the Dora, but with the Department of Human Settlement.
Oh yes, no, we have got on the balance of the input that we are receiving on this, and also noting what Honorable Kruger suggested, is it not better to say that to interact with CIFA, the relevantly placed officials, to interact with them in a meeting, I would think it will bear better fruits than, you know, if they write, we write bad, you know, because we can then, we already have the background as the visit, but to get deep into the issues, if we are with them in a meeting and they have come with their notes, you know, we ask them to prepare thoroughly so that because it's important that we get to an informed conclusion of the matter, not only as per the visit and where we are looking at many issues. So that I'm trying to say, given the input, is it not better if the committee writes, probably as we go on with the observations and recommendations, we may find we still have many or a number of issues where we need further engagement and further clarity. So that's where I think a meeting will be better than a letter, so that we don't have communication, a written communication where it goes to and fro, to and fro. But Honorable Chance and my colleague Governor.
Yeah, Chair, I think that your point about the observations and recommendations raising many such issues is important, and I'd like to make a recommendation that we go through the observations and recommendations and then we reach a conclusion as a committee as to what is the appropriate action to take going forward. We go around the table and each of us gives our input on the observations and recommendations on the entire report, and then we can make a suggestion for how to proceed.
Maybe, as the Honourable Chancellor is saying, maybe this will come, because what I was thinking now is that is it going to be possible for the sake of information and correct assessment to know exactly also, maybe through SIFA or whatever, what exactly happened between human settlement and hair? Because in this case, human settlement became so inhuman. And that inhumanity of theirs is the cause of this whole thing. Now, that reality of that part of inhuman is the one which maybe we should know about, because it is the cause of the entire thing. It's maybe fighting or police.
Again, Chair, just to add, after Udora came to Parliament, we did interact. In fact, she even requested the minutes of the meeting. I extrapolated minutes of the meeting from PMG, and there was a resolution of the Portfolio Committee to say USIFA CEO must then engage with the human settlements. I was not in that meeting, so I could not really follow up in terms of the discussion, the resolution, but that resolution to say USIFA CEO must engage with human settlement was there, and as a result, they have engaged. There is something that is happening. In terms of the litigation process, it has been put on hold, because apparently also SIFA has realized that it was actually a shortcoming on its side, really as a state organ. They were supposed to have done something. As Honorable Chan said, perhaps when we go through the observation and recommendation, we will note that I'm also making a recommendation to say USIFA must give us a report back. I think I said on the 31st of January or something, or 31st of March. Yeah, there is where I'm saying that. A feedback which will then, include all the discussions. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to this matter, I think we'll get it within the minutes, although this means that we are going to adopt was on that in that meeting there was a resolution. Perhaps for now we can just go to what Honorable Chance was suggesting, that we just go to observations and recommendations. Then this matter was, if my memory serves me well, there was also a question of saying, due to this, it was shown that SIFA does not have a rescue strategy. I think members can remember that. If SIFA had a rescue strategy, this would not have been happening. And hence, SIFA was also to be requested to come and present to the Portfolio Committee with the inclusion of this member. Because when they were there in the Portfolio Committee, they were being, the Portfolio Committee was trying to demonstrate to SIFA of the cases that has come out of the visit. Hence, the committee wrote to SIFA board, requesting the board to put the litigations on hold. But this matter was still have to be pursued further with the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, members. Then let's go to observations. But I'm not sure, I'm looking at another chance. All the observations, and at the end, we then go to the recommendations. The other way would be to go to an observation, and if an observation is specific, it relates to a specific recommendation, we immediately marry it to that recommendation, but that may be a bit cumbersome. So my sense is that we should just go chronologically through all the observations and note if there are issues that we think could be critical under recommendations. Honorable Charles?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'm happy with that proposal. Page 28. Contents advisor, I think you may have.
Let me interrupt you for a chance.
Yes.
Now, if under this, the way we're talking, I understand ourselves to say, let's go chronologically. So we are on page 27,
10.1.
And on 10.1, you know, going down that way. On 10.1, any comment? And we must also be careful not to be trapped by, I know I often do that myself, we mustn't find that the language also delays us, but it's also an opportunity of correcting language as well, so we have to do both.
Colleague Kaffer?
I was going to say it will be maybe easier for us if, as you say, 10.1, anything on 10.1 we move.
Okay. Or just by page, Chair.
Yeah.
By page.
Okay. Okay, we are on page 27.
Okay.
Page
10.6, second line and third line, sorry, second and last line from the bottom. I think, Content Chair, with respect, you may have got the demand and supply the wrong way around. I think that the department is addressing the supply side, not the demand side. In other words, it's supplying small businesses with resources without addressing their market access, right? You agree? So I just suggest that you swap those two around. Does everybody get that point? Okay, thank you.
Any other comment on page 28? Let's then proceed to page 29. I note that when we go to recommendations, somewhere we have to identify internal mechanisms so that when we say without exhausting all internal mechanisms, to give more flesh to that, to be specific. Am I with the meeting?
I'm just afraid that when we go in too much detail on that, we might cross that line of interfering with the department's operational side. I don't know.
But if a third party asks and says, what do you mean when you say the department has not exhausted all internal mechanisms, how would we, as a portfolio committee, respond?
I think it's not for us to respond, it's for them to respond.
So, yeah, I think just so long as the committee has flagged this as an issue and put it into the recommendations, that's as far as we can go.
Yeah. Let's proceed to page 30. Honorable Kuhn?
10.13. Chair, I don't know the recommendations. What are we recommending on the 10.13? Because according to my or my memory, I think there's a lot of rats stinking in this situation. And in the report, it was stated as well, you know, there's a few questions coming up. So I don't know what our recommendation is going to be on this thing. Are we going to flag it, and then when CIFA comes to this committee, it's part of their discussions? And even are we going to bring Redmo Finance Services here as well? Because I think there's some funny stuff going on, not just from CIFA's side. It seems like Redmo, you know, everything is not 100%. As I, again, it's like the informal hawkers next to the street. It's that gut feeling you get that something is not 100% right. So I can't put my finger on it, but I think we need more investigation. So I'm just wondering about the recommendation.
Yeah. Now, why don't we say, you note that, but when we discuss recommendations, you will then see, we will then explore whether the recommendations are speaking to the issue.
Okay.
Can we, Honorable Chance?
Thanks, Chair. 10.13. I think, again, with respect to the content advisor, what he says here is not actually factually correct. If you look at CIFA's financial statements, there's absolutely no doubt that wholesale lending is less risky than direct lending in terms of its impairment rate. So I think you can't make that statement. I think that what is true to say is that when a loss is incurred by CIFA in its wholesale lending book, it's a bigger loss, an individual bigger loss, because it's lending larger amounts of money to smaller intermediaries. So what it does say is that CIFA must pay special care and attention to its intermediaries because of the risk of large losses when they do occur. do you get the point? That then comes to the, brings me to the second bullet point, where you refer to the interest rate. In my estimation, the granting of prime less 2% was a concession to Retnal to make it easier for them to repay the loans because of its probable bad debt. And it all relates to the risk profile. In other words, when you talk about small enterprises not getting the same benefit, it relates to the risk profile attached to those loans. And I think that, again, when we come to recommendations, we need to flag this as being something that CIFA needs to look into with a great deal of urgency, which is its risk management procedures. Thank you, Chair.
But, Chair, I think there's nothing wrong with that sentence. We can leave the sentence as it is. Because sometimes CIFA is charging too much, you know, too high interest rate. So I think we can leave the paragraph as is that we just, I don't know if my colleague is happy with that.
Yeah, no, I'm happy with that. I'm just making a note of the fact that when it comes to recommendations, we need to take issue with that particular point.
Can we then go to the last page?
Yes, sir.
Page 1, Honourable Chance.
I'm battling to recall where this information came from. Moran Financial Services. Where did this information come from, that they were liquidated with a debt of 65 million rand? I don't remember that being part of the discussion. Perhaps you could just enlighten us on that.
Honourable Chance, there's a lot of information available on the CIFA annual reports like this one. It came up of CIFA annual report 2013. CIFA annual report. I just put it here in relation to the point I'm raising above. But it's on the...
No, I understand, but I think it's important to... This was not part of our oversight visit, this information.
Correct.
I think you need to make the point that by way of comparison, such and such and such, ascertained from the annual report. You know, you need to state that where the information comes from, not just say that this was part of our oversight report, because it wasn't. Not part of our oversight visit, I mean. Do you see what I'm saying?
Any other point on page 31? Let's then proceed to recommendations. Wachtafa?
Yeah, before we go to committees, I just need maybe personal comfort on this. There were some areas where I was personally having some sense that the projects that were being funded or yes assisted by CIFA were primarily those which indicated, I think that maybe that's the logical conclusion of finance, indicated that they will succeed without necessarily showing anything else. In that case, I was having three. The one of the lender who was paid money to lend. Two, the other one of the fertilizer. And three, the one of dog food. It makes sense. They are small enterprises. But sometimes I was just having some suspicion or sense that they would get this because they immediately indicate that they are going to succeed without necessarily being an effort of resuscitating or building small businesses. I don't know, but maybe it's just too vague what I'm trying to say. That's just my feeling. Thank you. among the region.
Further inputs? Because that, in other words, but if we were to phrase that, can we try to articulate as an observation? Am I moving with you? Welcome.
Yes, but only that I've got this fear that
let's discuss it. It's open to discussion. But do we want colleague Kapa to repeat, or are we understanding him? Maybe we'll start there. And if we are understanding him, then I'm inviting the meeting to make comments. Honorable Chance?
Perhaps Honorable Kapa could repeat what he's saying. I didn't quite follow what he was saying.
I wanted to say I had some feeling somehow that some of these businesses which were funded or assisted by CIPA to some extent were not necessarily I don't know whether it's helping, but that they have identified an area where you are sure that when you put your money there, it's going to come, not necessarily assisting need. For example, go to the dog food, and you take that dog food and take someone else of a less capacity to pay, but who would have the same need. I don't know what I'm doing, whether it is that. It's difficult to explain this. If it's too vague, we can leave it. It can come, it will come another day or another year. We can leave it.
Let's take Honorable Kruger, Honorable Marvin, and then Comrade Montembo.
What I'm understanding here is maybe Honorable Kaba is questioning the criteria. How is CIFA deciding on who to give how much to whom? And I think again, this is operational. But if it happened that this process is fraud, you know, there's a fraud in the process, I think then we can talk about it. But we don't know what is the criteria. I mean, what is the criteria for CIFA to say yes to the one project and no to another project? You know, that process, I don't think us as committee understand that process. And I think, if I'm correct, I don't know, maybe Honorable Kapa can help me here, but I think that is the biggest question. And I also had the question, When are you successful, and why are you not successful in approaching CIFA for financial help?
Thanks, Chair. I will also try to join the struggle of trying to simplify what about capacity. My assessment or my own understanding is that maybe we should look at the nature of the production of the business as to how it's going to impact the society. I'm moving from his example of the dog food. I'm looking at the dog food versus someone who's manufacturing the blocks or bricks in the society. That the nature of the business itself has a potential to create more jobs for this world. Because if I look at that one and that dog food, there are about three people were there. But there are some businesses that when you started them, you are guaranteed that a number of people in the society will benefit in terms of job creation. Well, I do not, as Honorable Kruger said, that do not think that maybe to be within our jurisdiction. Or we can tell the CIFA to say, you can fund this kind, or you cannot fund. They've got their own administrative requirement that they follow on granting the fund or on looking at the application. Maybe those are things that might not be within our capacity as the committee. But what we can look at is to whether they do their business of uplifting these emerging entrepreneurs, and also the issue of those huge interest rates. I think that one is within our capacity. But to go to the nitty-gritties as to this one, not this one, well, I do not think we can. I mean, to be honest, on that food project, personally, I didn't see any need to fund that man. But well, he's a business person, he qualifies to be funded. I would have preferred something much better than that dog food, because that's a sole, that person is a sole entrepreneur looking at his own profit. But that is not within our capacity to say he cannot get it. Well, that's my observation, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. In joining my fellow colleagues in trying to simplify what Honorable Kapa said, I think it's more on transformation. I think there was somewhere he was trying to say maybe other businesses are funded because CIFA is sure that they will have returns and these people will quickly pay than your struggling, emerging entrepreneurs, those that are starting. You know, sometimes maybe CIFA is not comfortable. There'll be those that there's no balance. Maybe if I try to get him, as much as Honorable Mwabe has said, even Honorable Kruger, that we will not get into nitty-gritties. But the issue of the interest rate, I think it is a concern to us. And also the issue of maybe transforming CIFA as it's supposed to be, like, you know, attending to those that were previously disadvantaged, you know, ensuring that the debt gap is closed, people are receiving equal assistance and treatment, you know. It should not be maybe here we will be safe, these will be paying as we are expecting. Hey, maybe those ones maybe will be struggling. But it's my try. I'm trying to understand where he was coming from.
Just a follow-up, Chair.
Sorry.
Just a follow-up, Chair. I think we can summarize this by saying, in as much as CIFA funds business, but it must reflect a spirit of radical economic transformation. I think we are there in summary, that in as much as fact, but this spirit must be reflected in the way you execute that job. That's my summary, Chair. But I hope Babkapa is not going to resign in this committee, because these days, old men like him, they are very difficult in what they say, and then they resign.
No, thanks. I've been quiet for such a long time. Now, I think the concern of Kappa is genuine. I think he's questioning the capacity of the particular project that has been giving money. At the same time, he's looking at that dog something. How can you go and give that particular project the money while you've got people that has been waiting in applications and they don't get funding?
I think his question is that what kind of a criteria, I'm going back to what Honorable Kroger said, maybe the criteria that they are using. Maybe sometimes when they come here, they must explain to us what criteria they're using when they disperse their funding. I think that is important. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. I'm happy about these observations because they, to me, seems they come to an observation now. Who has a task to go and see how to phrase these observations? Because all what we're saying, we have said here, to me, comes to an observation. What an observation is that in our oversight role, we, while we don't think it's our duty to determine who must be funded, but we are not clear as to what another protocol say. I think we can go and think about that, that observation. This comes out from this.
Another chance.
Yes, having heard what the members have said, I think we need to make the observation that CIFA is a lender of last resort. In other words, it's there to help businesses that can't get borrowing, can't borrow money from financial institutions and don't want to go to the machinistas to borrow money because it costs too much. There's no nothing in this in the CIFA mandate which says that it must not be lending to certain non-designated groups, but it does have a mandate to lend to certain designated groups. So I don't think the question should be, why was the money lent to the dog food business? The question should be, why was money not lent to the other businesses? In other words, let's not be exclusionary here. We should be lending money to anybody who deserves to be borrowing the money and can pay it back. The question, to my mind, is CIFA giving due attention to deserving borrowers that maybe need a little bit more assistance than just, you know, being able to pay the money back? And I think, if I may make a further comment, Chair, one of the problems with CIFA is that CIFA has only one type of product, which is a loan. Okay, within that category, it has different categories of loans, term loans, fixed interest loans, and this stuff. But basically, when somebody comes to CIFA for financial assistance, it doesn't ask the question, what is the best route for you to expand? Should it be a grant? Should it be a loan? Should it be equity? These are all the different types of finance that are available. If you recall, we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago when Honorable Dlamini Zuma and I were having a little bit of chit-chat. And this is a problem with CIFA's mandate, is that it only offers loans. It doesn't offer unbiased advice to clients as to what should their financial strategy be. Do you see what I'm saying? So I think that I would suggest that we put it in to observations, you know, the comment that maybe CIFA's mandate needs to be reassessed and that they need financial advisors who go in and talk to clients as to whether they should even be a CIFA client. Or maybe they should go somewhere else for support.
Bob Kumete, you have your hand up? Is it still up? Or, I think but there's one issue that we as a portfolio committee, the criteria, why it's not our duty to pursue who is given a loan and who is not given a loan, you know, in detail. But the criteria, we must understand the criteria so that we can then be able to move to the second question or to question. Because in other words, as we interact with CIFA, they will have to satisfy us on the criteria, given the mandate that they have as a department, from the vision, from all those key aims and of CIFA, And given the transformative agenda that we face, and given the inequities that we face, then the criteria cannot be divorced from all those. So it will mean at one stage we will have to understand the criteria. Can we pass then on that, noting what Comrade Gapa said when he asked Mr. Kumede to try to capture what the spirit of the meeting on this item? And so we now proceed to recommendations. We are on page 32. Honorable Chance?
Yes, 11.1, I think that the committee should be also recommending that the department pays more attention to its external communications. In other words, be more accessible. You know, if you can't phone the department and get answers from the department, then, I mean, what's it there for? That's my first point. Yeah, I think the point about 11.6 is fine. I would imagine that we deal with that in greater detail when we look at the minutes of the meeting when she came to the committee.
Further comments on page 32?
I'm dusting about this. This 11.1 is a very good idea. We did not possibly to bring it forward. It's 30th June, but I think it's a very good idea. I would have liked to come forward if it was possible.
Well, Commander, asking a question. Can you repeat it on the mic?
Okay. No, I was asking if would 31 March 2018 be would suffice.
There is a question.
Yes, I think so. That's the end of the financial year.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Can we take that? Okay. Further comments on page 32. Are we okay to go to page 33, or we still need more time on page 32?
I thought we had one yet, we were going to say it's still 0.6.
Proceed,
I'm not saying, but I think we had some ideas which are being said around 0.6, which maybe should come in now.
Honorable Charles had suggested that we should look at it in conjunction with the minutes that, as was suggested by Mr. Kunene.
Also, Chair, sorry, if you look, paragraph 11.6 is not completed until the next page.
Okay.
So, actually, it does make a recommendation that the CEPA needs to come back to the committee before the end of 2017. But can we deal with that when we deal with page 33?
Chair, just a quick one from me. On 11.5, you would notice that this is a matter falling squarely under DAF, but we all have responsibility to report corruption where we have witnessed it. As a result, this recommendation is specific to the department. What should be the role of the portfolio committee? I thought Honorable Kruger and Honorable Kapp will then come in as they sit on the portfolio committee on DAF. to say perhaps we can also add to say they will also report the matter to their respective, I don't know how you would want to put it. But for me, really, the issue of a toilet that costs 1.8 million, I think it's a lot of money, and we need to fight it on both angles, from the side of the executive and also from the side of the legislature. Thanks.
Let me take Rob Kunele and then Colin Tapper. Oh, Rob Kunele, noting you, Rob.
So, Chairman, I can't say that the government is not sorry. What is your term?
Yes, I was just trying to respond to what we were saying, that the approach to me would be different. The communication between the two departments of portfolio committees would be formal, maybe between chair and chair. But what you would seem to be suggesting to me is that with us being having knowing this information, therefore we would be a resource in either of the committees, myself and my brother.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. No, I think Bob Cup has covered me to say on this one that who is raising, it will be much stronger if our own chair lies with the chair of my chair of the agriculture as well, so that we take it on that level. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Chair, I'm covered because it's difficult, you know, the agendas are fixed before, and to come in now with something, you know, out of the blue when we discuss the forestry board, for instance. So it could take very long before we can bring this to the attention of the committee, number one. And number two, I don't think we need to put into the sister department. There's no indication that DAF is a sister department of small business development. It's just a department. It's just a department of South Africa. So we can take... We can just take sister out. That's the second point. And the third point is, you will remember, I'm always talking about this, the mandate of the department. Because if all this agreements was in place by small business development and this transversal agreement was in place, this would have been very easy. Of course, then we can just go back to the agreement. So this is an agreement, we pick this up and you must sort it up and report back to the to small business development. But the problem at the moment is double dipping, where small businesses run from one department to another department. Officials' KPIs is about starting small businesses, so they very happy when a small business ran into the office and needs some advice or funds, so that they can score a few KPI points, and they don't go further. And we need in the new year, it's too late this year, but we need in the new year to drive this transversal agreement very, very hard. Because the right hand is not knowing what the left hand is doing at the moment. And it all goes under the umbrella of small business development. And this is what happened here exactly. And I can tell you, Chair, this is officials, not small business that take advantage of the situation at the moment. It's officials, scallum, torchy officials that take advantage of the situation at the moment, because there's no agreement and there's no coordination between departments. I mean, land reform, we haven't even touched rural development yet. I can tell you now, if we must open that can of worms, we will be very, very surprised. There's a lot of taxpayers' money, and we had a discussion a few minutes ago about radical economic development all the seats, but the money is going into the pockets of officials and not into the pockets of those that need the development. Say again?
Beneficiaries.
So it's a huge problem, and we need to address this very quickly. And at back of the ranch, officials are pocketing millions and millions of money, and the sad story is they get a bonus of doing that. They get performance bonuses of stealing taxpayers' money.
I think if money is taken by the stealing is bad. But the worst is if it is stolen by people that are salaried. I agree.
Yeah.
Because they are supposed to alleviate people from poverty.
From the poor is even worse.
So are we now paging over to page 33, taking into account that we are carrying 1136? Honorable Chance, Wakunene, or Wakunene, let me take Wakunene Kala.
Thank you, Chair. I was just saying that the point that I said to the very same level point C was next to the last teaching of the COVID. We still maintain before the end of 2017.
In fact, my assumption was, in terms of the minutes of the meeting, that was what was agreed upon. Unless if the minutes of the meeting say something different, or there was no time frame put.
I'm just looking at the first time meeting the last meeting, and the last meeting.
Yeah, there's a bit of a timing problem here, and that the minutes of this, the report that we're considering today was written after the committee meeting when this lady came and addressed the committee, and CIFA then reported back effectively. So, I mean, I'm not saying that the matter's closed, but I think we need to state that DSBD called this lady before the committee and subsequent to that requested CIFA to report back, and clearly they're not going to report back by the end of this year because we're virtually at the end of this year. But so we have to decide when they need to report back. But my suggestion on this particular point, Chair, is, and it comes back to your point earlier about getting officials, I don't think we're going to get anything from the officials. The officials are hiding their cop-outs, for want of a better word. What we need to do is we need the board to investigate and to come back to this committee. If you recall, the board took our criticisms of the matla, what was it called, the chicken co-op. You remember the one in Jazz, Morocco, right? Where CIFA loaned 20 million rand, they did an investigation, officials have been, super grand. And I think that the new chairperson, Flonella Lipuwana, is somebody that we can, we can expect to take action on the basis of our recommendations. So my suggestion, chairperson, is that we request the board to investigate all of these allegations within what we've uncovered within. We need to submit this document to her, to the board, and say that we want them to all be investigated, and that at a committee meeting early in the following, in the next term, that we want the CIFA board to come and report back on an investigation that it has conducted into these allegations. You know, either be corruption or maladministration or, prejudice against clients that have been liquidated or clients that have been, had their assets attached and so on and so on and so on. That's my suggestion.
Do we think the board has that capacity?
Yes, it has a forensic. It has a forensics department which has already done the investigation, and the report that they did into the Supergrant was a good piece of work. So they need to do the, and if it doesn't satisfy us, then we need to get the Auditor General to do the work. But as a first step, we should get the forensics department within CIFA to do that work.
Just before I give you a job, I just want to so that we, as we engage with the issue, are we sure that we don't want to, did we thoroughly engage the department on this report? I get a feeling that even if we are going to get the board to do that and that and that, are we sure we don't need to further engage the department on most of these issues? Because these issues are so many. Are we sure that we have engaged them adequately? While I note the suggestion of shifting most of these issues to the board, but let me take colleague Kappa.
Thank you, Chair. I am tempted to believe that the suggestion of Honourable Chance using the board is to move quicker and jump other unnecessary hurdles. And therefore, to me, that would suggest that the 11.6 maybe is rephrased, maybe that because at the end of the day, we want this to be done by the board, which might be on the basis of the information or experience what we have in the 11.6, and therefore take it to the board or recommend that it goes done by the board, and also consider changing the date to a reasonable date that you would expect to come back. Thank you.
Chair, I proposed, if you look at, for instance, 11.8, where we say the board must report on the 31st of March in terms of the rescue strategy, could I also propose 31 March 2018 on this particular one, so that when they come to appear before the portfolio committee, they have a chunk of issues to discuss with the portfolio committee?
Yes, a specific suggestion. Madam Temple, you are nodding a yes, Honourable Chance.
No, I think that there are two points that need to be made here. One is the issue of her business being rescued, and that can't wait until the 28th, until the 31st of March. You know, I'm not quite sure what the current situation is, but I've been in telephone conversation with this lady. We've been in conversation with Mr. Mabunza from CIFA. The problem that she has is she's lost her credit record. She can't get any more loans because she's failed to pay off the previous loans. She can't borrow any more money. She needs to borrow money to be able to build more houses, even if the Department of Housing gives her more money. So she's stuck. She's got nowhere to turn. So the only way in which it can be resolved is if the Department of Housing gives her another contract. And that then becomes the basis for CIFA overriding its normal lending policy and lending her more money. So that can't wait until the 31st of March. What can wait until the 31st of March is a board investigation into how it got to this stage of disaster. Do you see what I'm saying? So I think that what we need to get from maybe the content advisor or the secretary or the chairperson is to get an update on what correspondence, if any, has there been between the chairperson and the Department of Housing and CIFA as to how this business can be resuscitated through its business rescue services.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable is covered many critical chance that at least before we can agree or not agree on the issues of 31st of March being the deadline, it would be important to know the current state of the matter. Because I remember last time when we were there, it was such an urgent matter to such an extent that 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 Mama was crying tears when we were there. Maybe from the secretary of the committee in the next meeting, if he can give us a report or interact with that person, with that Mama, before we can take. Because you might find out that 31st of March might be too far. Things are still hanging. We need a current standing first, because it was such a touching matter. Thanks.
So in other words, we need a report before our last portfolio committee meeting for this year.
Yes, Chair, I'm partly covered, but I think the recommendations, we can just have one recommendation. Leave the rest and say the department must study our observations and come back with a solution for each observation before very, you know, so that we just not just observe problems, but that we make sure that there are solutions for the problem. So whatever the problem that we observe on our oversight, they must come with a solution.
Yes.
And they must come to this committee, and then we can debate the solution, if the solution is a proper solution or the solution is not a proper one. So I suggest we only have one recommendation.
Chair, just make a comment on that, please. Just again, the timing. I think I agree with you in principle, but I think that what the committee needs to come back to us with is what solutions they have already enacted. In other words, they come back to us by a certain date saying how they have addressed these problems in the meantime.
You mean the department?
Yes, the department. They can't come back to us at the end of March and say this is what we propose to do. They must come back to us and say this is what we have done to resolve these problems. Right? And I don't think the 31st of March is soon enough. I think it must be our very first committee meeting in 2018.
Correct me, didn't I note you and not come to you?
No.
You're covered. Although, let me just ask ourselves a question. Are we sure that we will not be deviating from a standard procedure and we seem to be taking a shortcut if we say we don't? Am I understanding the proposal to be saying let's not retain the recommendations, let's just have one recommendation? And I'm saying if we are aiming to have only one recommendation and not come up with the recommendations, I get a feeling that we will have obviated the standard procedure of after every report coming up with recommendations. Babukunene, you want to come in first before I take your number turn?
Now we are considering the oversight report.
Yes.
These are two processes.
Yes.
As far as I'm thinking, the oversight report has got its authorization and recommendation. While at the same time, there was another process that was requested by the committee to the board to assist these people who are in trouble, in deporting. So my suggestion was, let's not deviate from the recommendation of the report, because at the end of it all, everything has been happening. No matter what happened is that we request the department to come and present the remedial action or the remedial action on the recommendation of each and every report that has been produced. Secondly, then the other process is that maybe the committee can now look at what assistance has been given to these people who presented these cases, which doesn't have to make the committee deviate from these recommendations. Then thirdly, what Mr. Mabwa was saying, there have been some interaction, because Dora was sending me
Now I'm talking about the process of asking him. There was some indirect, but the last email that he copied me, she was sending it to Chakani and the chairperson of the board. It seems as if they did give her something to do. The only thing that she was now concerned about was the time frame. If me, I can just, I have signed the session with CIFA on Friday, the 3rd of November 2017, but I don't see any progress. Godfrey keep telling me about CAST. I have signed the program of human settlement, which is very tight. By the end of November, they are expecting 10 completion, which is going to be possible if I don't get the funding by the end of this week. Was the 10th of 11th. This is that I can try to push out on your side. Hope you find this out. So there's something that is happening to assist her, because now they did terminate her contract, but at the end of the day, they also resuscitated it. So the point I'm making, I was saying, we can continue with this recommendation as they are, and then at a later they will keep on trying to find out what assistance is being given. I don't know whether I'm clear.
Honorable Chance, and then Honorable Mwabe.
Yeah, I'm happy with that suggestion. Okay. I don't think we should scrap all these recommendations, but I do think that we should ask the both CIFA board and the department to come back to us early in 2018 with their remedial action that they have taken.
If you can remember, the chairperson was also pressing on the oversight role that is played by the department on the entities. Remember, because she also mentioned that we need to get from the department what really the role that they are playing, where things they should be surfaced by the portfolio committee, and yet the department has got an oversight role on the entities.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. No, I was going to say that now that King has explained that there are developments in the matter that was worrying us, I will second what he's proposing, that we maintain the observations. Because there are some developments seemingly, we'll be getting updates now and then. I'm happy with that as well. We can go on.
I agree with all these inputs, but to me now that tells me that who recommendation 11.6 does not remain the same. Instead, the essence of it changes to that the recommendation is that this issue must revert to what King is saying, the way it was supposed to be approached. Because here, you can see that in the recommendation is that, because the recommendation calls it reverse, the recommendation is made, the recommendation is that GSB and CIFA must report back to the committee before the end of 2017. And therefore, this recommendation does not tally with what we say. So the main, the recommendation now changes that this issue must revert to and be attended to in the manner that was agreed upon, instead of this one, what we have here. Thank you.
Will you, with King, able to amend accordingly?
No, it's fine. I will check. The only challenge is, what the board is raising is, what I'm picking up, you did not put the time frames on the minutes, which was a bit of a snag. That's why on this one, I'm putting the time frames to say before the end of this year. Or I've changed it to say 30 November 2017 or 31 January 2018.
Just before the end of the financial year. This financial year. Yeah, it's fine. You use that term, it gives us more time to move.
I would think that let's maintain as it was, putting in hindsight that this was the report was done
before all these deliberations are taking place, so that even if the department is not doing it, this time frame was by that time, and there's nothing at that's why I was trying to surface the question of saying these are two processes, the report, and then yet there was a process whereby the department, the CIFA and the board was requested to do something while the report was being crafted. Not that just if nothing had happened in the meantime.
Chair, what
was
it that we need to report? Is that our report must recognize what was the
We
recognize that we wanted it to be done and it must be done. Even if there was pressure, that must be done as quick as possible, that must remain, so that we should not now have it as a fresh recommendation. Mm-hmm. Whereas there was work which has been done, but which we must note and also confirm that it must be done, especially the way that there were recommendations for saying.
In other words, we retained the date as it appears here.
No, Chair. See, my worry about the date is, you know, one of the chancellors was saying this thing was already going on, and therefore to say taking last month, whereas it was supposed to be pressure because of the business was happening. That's why my idea is that we must revert to the original recommendations. Our recommendation is that must be done in the way it was proposed, or it was pretended to as such. I don't know what that
means. Before the end of this
So can we conclude it? Okay. So the other points on page 33?
I'm sorry to be a bit pedantic. The problem is that this report has been superseded by the committee meeting where this lady, Dora, came and presented and subsequent events. So we can't expect to intervene in those processes. I think that there are two issues. First is that we want to record in this oversight report that ex post facto, to use a Latin phrase, the issue was raised at a meeting on such and such a date, and subsequent actions have been taken to address the concerns of this woman, Dora. And so, for reference, see minutes of the meeting. But the second issue is that we need to get a report back from the board as to how this situation arose in the first place. In other words, how this loan went bad. Why was it not managed properly with the Department of Housing? I think that those are the two issues we've got to get. And we're not going to get a report back by the... And this committee isn't going to have a chance to consider a report by the end of the year anyway. Do you see? We're not going to have a consideration of the report back by CFRAL's department next week on this. I think we must just make sure that we record that, following on from the meeting the committee had with Dora and CFRAL, that the committee notes in this report that action has been taken to address it, and that the committee requires a report on remedial action taken early next year. I don't know whether I'm making myself clear.
To the content advisor, you are clear, but I see Bob Kappa, you want to comment? Are we okay with what Honorable Charles is proposing, particularly to the content advisor? You'll be able to catch it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell a point on page 33.
Mam Tebu?
Thank you, Chair. It doesn't concern.
It's there?
It doesn't impact in terms of the CIF segment in the part of the
region. 11.10, okay.
Yes. And more
no, it's yours. Is your mic on?
Oh, Thank you, Chair. I'm more on the forensic investigation. But, I am for this recommendation, but the emphasis is more on the forensic investigation, because to me, there's something that is not okay with what has happened. Like, for instance, on the International Cooperatives Day in August, I did go to Fintonkin, and one of these cooperatives was nominated as the best performing co-op, and they were awarded incentives. Yes, the ones that I mentioned, these constructive cooperatives. I don't remember whether it was the Mangel or, but the one that we went to the house, it's a reverend or something like that. Yes, that cooperative. It was there, and then it was mentioned as a very performing co-op, and then they were awarded. Yes. So there's a lot that leaves much to be desired. I think there's an official that is saying some games there. So unfortunately, all them that you were there, but Mabasa, even if maybe you left by then when these cooperatives were awarded and given some prizes. And so one of them, unfortunately, because I was there, so I was like, something is not right, because these people are not doing anything.
And
but
couldn't
here they are.
A point of order in that
I couldn't raise. So the right hand has come for me to raise it, but you know what, something needs to be done. Because they cannot be giving reports as if they are doing well. I think it's more on the scorecards and the bonuses that they are to get, these officials. You know, like we have delivered, we have assisted such a number of cooperatives, but the story is not as they are portraying in public.
Maybe the secretary, in the absence of the chairperson, or maybe the acting chairperson, can just report back to us on the status of the request of the chair of chairs to give this committee resources to have an investigation conducted by the Auditor General. Because if you recall, that was what the committee was going to ask, that the chair of chairs gives this committee resources to then commission the Auditor General to do the investigation that we've all been calling for a long time.
Any information on that, Bakune?
Yes, from the management that we had last week, the chairperson said we have to write a letter thank you for that, because the promise, the outcome of the meeting that was between the chair and house of the chair of chairs was that they do acknowledge that what the committee wanted, and then we they did acknowledge what the committee wanted, hence they say because of fund you should wait until the mid-term budget statement, then thereafter they could source the fund, as Mr. Chan is articulating, because it was mentioned in the meeting. So now what has happened is that still we written a letter to make a follow-up on that to them, to the house checkers.
Sorry, do we have any indication when we're going to get an answer on that, Chair? Okay.
Unfortunately, not yet. Get any information. But secondly, when moving also to what Honorable Mtembe is saying, I would suggest also that the very same thing could come when the department is responding on the recommendation, because it responded on the 3 oversight visits, because this report was not yet out, if you remember, a week before last, when it was responding to all the remedial work. I should think maybe honorable members can, who were there, they can raise that issue in detail with the department.
Sure.
Another
chance?
Has the chairperson and you discussed the the first term program next year, the first term program, and when the department is able to come back and report on these matters. Could it be requested that they prioritize this in terms of the first meeting of the committee next year?
No, we have not yet finalized the first quarter program for 2018.
Mm. So shouldn't we say when we do finalize it, we should take this into account so that we can confirm it?
I think that is in order, yes.
Any other point on page 33?
They operate as a portfolio. Yeah, that's what we are working. It's a portfolio, so it should come from the department. And this strategy, they will use it as an oversight, because we are saying CIFA and CIFA should be the implementing agents. Yeah.
Any other comments? Honorable Kruger?
Jay, maybe we can just take that paragraph and add it to 11.1.
Which paragraph?
That's 11.11.
So you want the two paragraphs to be joined together?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a proposal. Yeah.
Are there motivations for that?
It seems like they fit together.
Right?
Yeah, they speak to each other. I don't know.
The different strategies.
Okay.
One is marketing and branding strategy, and the other one is the market access strategy.
Okay.
Mm.
Good. Any other comments? Page 34. That's 11.12. Comment there? Then it means we have exhausted the board, but let me hear from the secretary and the content advisor procedurally.
So just later from 12, maybe we must just put something in and report back to committee. 11.12.
What is our position as a portfolio committee? I was just consulting with the secretary that we can adopt the report with amendments, but that even if we have adopted it, it will still come to the chairperson and still come to the PC, am I right? To board. So So what is our position? Do we want, do we feel comfortable to adopt the report as is with amendments that have been done? Ma'am Chubu?
Thank you, Chair. I think we may adopt the report with the amendments made. I don't think it will be a problem for us.
Honourable Charles?
Yeah, I second that, Chair.
Thank you. So it's the report, it's the adoption is moved and adopted by Honourable Mam Chebu and Honourable Charles respectively. And what time is it now? Past 12. Let's get guidance. Do we take a short break? There's no tea coming.
We need a top up. Then we'll come.
5 minutes. Okay, let's have a 5 minute break and maybe we can agree on the methods on how to, yeah. Let's take a 5 minute break and then we can come back to agree on how to handle the minutes.
Agenda for the next meeting. If this can be the only agenda point of the agenda, then I will go for the issue next week. But I don't know what's on the agenda.
Okay. Our last PC,
it's going to have invited the treasury, but the unit on the cooperative development bank. It's only that. Then if maybe the members was it's going to be our last meeting, and I think the house will be starting at 3. So we can give up. I'm not influencing. Chair, I won't be at next week's meeting. I'm going to send my apologies. Seeing as I don't think any of us have read these, I suggest that if they don't be considered next week, then we put them to early next year. But I'm open to it. I just would prefer if we didn't spend the next 2 hours considering these minutes now.
But if Honourable Kruger and the other members are around, and if you have communicated points that, because it will be a good principle to get done with as much business of this year as possible. Why don't we leave an open window and say communique can be done with the secretary or through Kruger, I mean, Honourable Kruger. Babu Mlawe?
Yes, Chair. Noting that the majority of us, we haven't read the minutes, I would suggest that we push it for next week. For sure, I'm sure it will be quick to adopt them then, because all of us want to peruse them. We'll just go and adopt each minute. And with only one presentation in the House starting at 3, we can make it. Because those guys will just come and tell us what they have. And then we'll ask them questions that I think we can. I would agree with those honorable members who say, let's do it next week.
Another chance?
Yeah, I'll send my comments through to the Secretary on email before next week.
And if all of us can just make sure that we study them thoroughly and make notes so that the process takes as short a time as possible, are we agreed? So that then brings us to the closure and adjournment of the meeting. And thank you very much, members.